Welcome, everyone, to another podcast here on the Nerd Watch. We just finished up our American Sniper movie special. That's not the first time we've done a review that has taken up the entire podcast. It's a review that's taken that long, and we've gone on some interesting topics about American Sniper. All we can say is this, to bring that back to center, if you haven't heard it, listen to it. I think you'll enjoy it. We get into a little deeper conversation about American Sniper, about the controversy surrounding it. Take a listen to it, even if you're not interested, even if it's not your genre of film. You should definitely take a look at American Sniper and listen to our podcast. It's right there in the list of podcasts to listen to. I think you'll guys appreciate it. Even the nerds will appreciate it. But on to bigger, more exciting, and more light stories and reviews. American Sniper was the biggest. By the way, I'm joined by Collector J, Professor Barry, Amber, and myself, G Money. Welcome to the Nerd Watch, Part 2. You're getting a 2 for this week. Good for you guys. There was only one more movie that was released coinciding American Sniper, which was Black Cat, starring Chris Hemsworth, better known as Thor. American Sniper did the majority of the money. It did over $100 million in its first weekend. Black Cat probably did the worst out of everyone this weekend. So we're going to talk about Black Cat. Collector J watched Birdman, assuming that he was going to watch a Batman clone movie. I was under
it
that.
Wasn't even a Batman clone movie.
No, it wasn't. And then we'll talk a little bit about a couple of news bits, some television, and some games. We'll get right to it. So, Professor Barry, you watched Black Cat this week.
I did.
With Chris Hemsworth, a Michael Mann film.
Yeah.
Michael Mann is obsessed with using that digital camera of his, and it shows in every movie that he makes. Black Cat, it should be right up the alley of most of us here, because it's about a man who is behind bars who happens to be a hacker.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, knowing the nerd community as I do and the hacker community as little as I do, there are no hackers that look as beautiful as Chris Hemsworth. Collector J, am I wrong about that? Do hackers look as handsome, as dashing?
Who was someone came pretty close in the other movie with
hackers?
No. He was still a pretty boy in there,
Freddie
though.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
No. What was the one with...
Johnny Lee Miller was in Hackers. Sherlock Holmes and Angelina Jolie.
Oh, the one with Halle Berry was in it.
Swordfish.
Yeah. He was kind of pretty.
But I mean, in reality.
In reality? In no.
Hackers do not look like that.
Yeah, I'll show you a picture of the hackers.
Why not?
You gonna show us a picture of a real hacker now?
Yeah, this is a hacker slash like leader of a gamer group.
All right, let's see. Let's see.
What is it? Hottiehackers.com.
This is usually what you get right here.
Yeah, that's about.
Oh,
yeah, that's about right.
No.
That's the leader of the Lizard Squad. That's great.
I'll have to post it on Facebook.
You should post it on Facebook so people can see it. It's a pretty disgusting, vile picture. You should check it out. That's what most hackers look like.
This is an old school item. I think of Matthew Broderick in War Games. To me, that's like what I think of nerdy.
Oh, War Games is a great movie.
Yeah.
Now, Black Hat, Michael Mann's latest film. This is his. What has he done since before?
Last thing he did was Public Enemies.
Was it Public Enemies?
His most recent
film. That was right.
Yeah.
All right. So Black Cat, Chris Hemsworth. It seems like an exciting story. How is it?
The film is very good.
Really?
Let me just say off the bat, I don't know what they were thinking releasing this not only against American Sniper but against the second weekend of Taken 3. The timing is idiotic. They're treating it like it's garbage they're taking out, and by they I mean Universal Pictures, great studio. I don't know what they were thinking having this movie come out in January this time. It's an event film.
Really?
It's a terrific movie.
What?
Yes. Hemsworth is wrong for the role. Let me just get to that.
Okay, good.
He's wrong.
Good.
And he has this American accent. Meant to sound East Coast. He sounds kind of like Bruce Willis, David Addison era. Not a problem. Not really a problem.
Some walk by night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Songs like my day. I love Moonlighting. Anyway.
I love Moonlighting too. It's strange to hear him tackle that accent. He does well.
Good.
It's just, you know, considering some of the guys who've been Michael Mann leading men in the past, guys like James Caan and, you know, Robert De Niro and even Johnny Depp, Chris Hemsworth is not in that caliber. He can't hold the screen the way those guys can.
Well, James Caan, the film Thief,
yeah.
Good movie, by the
Great
way.
Great movie.
Let's be honest, if we look at his canon so far as of late, Michael Mann has been employed actors such as Jamie Foxx, mm-hmm. and Tom Cruise,
yep.
In Collateral, which is great. I really like that.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp in Public Enemies. Mm-hmm. These are pretty dashing, you know, leading men. So, you know, I'm not surprised that Chris Hemsworth is in it, you know, but I mean, do you think that, I know you say he's wrong, but is he good?
It's there's a disconnect between the actor and the material. You need a guy. If you think of Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, not so much how they look, but that whole notion of the character who, you know, to use the line, you know, they can sense the heat coming around the corner, they will run. Guys who have a real strong code and yet they're criminals. Men who are extremely organized and disciplined in their craft, even though the craft is illegal. It's impossible to get that from Chris Hemsworth. He's wrong for the role. It almost reminds me, this is not the best example, but kind of like when Orlando Bloom starred in Kingdom of Heaven. Orlando Bloom is good, and I think he gave that role his best shot, but I do feel like he wasn't exactly right for that movie. And I feel the same thing with Chris Hemsworth. I thought he was extraordinary in Rush, the Ron Howard film. I thought that was a really great acting turn.
Yeah, I think that Chris Hemsworth does not get enough credit for that movie, Rush.
Yeah,
everybody gives credit to
the other guy, Brugel.
Yeah,
which
he's good, but Chris Hemsworth to me was a standout in that film.
And I think that movie proved that he is a good actor.
Is a legitimate
he
actor.
Character roles, but this movie, like I say, good for you. You know that he you know took his Thor chips and cashed in to work with Michael Mann. But it just doesn't feel like the right vehicle for him.
All
right,
so with that in mind, having to suspend your disbelief that Thor is a hacker, how is the material that we're working with here?
Hypnotic. I love this world. I thought it was a beautiful film. The movie opens up with this extraordinary sequence. There's no dialogue showing the world that we live in. It's this shot of the world. You know, it's like a an astronaut's view of Earth, and it pans down into the world. And you see how everything's connected. You see you're inside the computer grid, and you're watching a computer hack take place inside the system. So it's very Tron-like. It's this really amazing sequence
cool.
that opens up the movie. You're immersed in
kind of like the opening of Runaway with Tom Selleck with all the
kind of like the opening of Runaway.
Isn't that cool? How it all just kind of circles back.
Interesting coincidence.
Ironic,
yes,
isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. It's one of the most beautifully filmed movies that man has ever done.
Even
considering Heat and Last of the Mohicans, I think it's one of the most, and even The Keep, which was a dud but beautiful, I'd say it's up there. It's a gorgeous film.
But what is his obsession with using this camera that seems to be rather, I don't know, dirty?
Putting you in the action, I think.
You think
you
so?
Know, same thing. You know,
Hasn't it become passé? I mean, he's done it so often already.
It's arguable. I mean, you know, and I was one of the people that absolutely loved Public Enemies, even though it was a strange thing to have, you know, a costume piece shot in that way. It was a little...
Yeah, it was a little off. It was
kind of a strange choice, but I felt like it worked there. It really works here.
Okay.
Particularly when... no question, the action sequences are extraordinary. The shootouts, nobody does a shootout like
that. Like Michael Mann, heck no.
And his action sequences in this movie are just sensational. Some of them come out of nowhere. You think the movie's getting kind of sappy and soggy, and all of a sudden you're in the midst of this extraordinary sequence. No question, the story is pulpy. You know, this idea of this hack that causes this monstrous explosion, and it's very, very pulpy, a little over the top. It has one of those endings that's very mythic. It's kind of like the last scene of Heat in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
It's very mythic, where it's very like the ultimate battle between good and evil, to the point where you're going, this isn't very plausible, but it looks cool, and you're totally down with where man is taking
cool,
you.
Cool.
The music, the editing, everything about this movie is as state of the art as you expect from Michael Mann. For me, this is like it's a screenplay wise, it's minor, but in terms of a director, it is Michael Mann absolutely on top of his craft. I really love this movie. I was surprised how much I liked it.
Wow.
Hemsworth is wrong for the role. It's not the best screenplay.
So who's the hot Asian chick in it?
She's extraordinary. She was the star of
Love Not to demean any hot Asian chicks, Amber. I'm sorry. Does she also play a hacker? She plays.
It's like she's part of the crew. It's almost like a Danny Ocean sort of crew that's taking on this assignment of finding the ultimate hacker.
Okay,
and so this is the star from Lost Caution. Very naughty film, and she keeps a lot of her clothes on in this film.
Good, thank goodness.
But she steals the film.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, and she does a good
she
great
does well? Job. She's, good. Yeah, it's a great performance. There's a lot of good actors in this movie: Viola Davis, what's his name, John Ortiz. But really, it's her movie.
It's her movie, yeah. Really. All right, so Black Hat.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 5 stars, where are we putting this?
Because Hemsworth is totally passable, but not extraordinary in the lead role, and because the plot is pulpy at best. It's the kind I described it as an airport read, that kind of a story. I give the film 3 stars. I'd put it up there with Miami Vice, honestly.
Wow.
I think it's the movie, Miami Vice. I'd say it's that caliber.
Well, Michael Mann, of course.
Yeah, of course. The story isn't great, but in terms of just a visual, beautiful and complex action movie, I think Mann, once again, is in his element.
So this is something that is definitely something to watch.
I think people should see it on the big screen. I think it's an event film. I'm kind of appalled that it's been
unbelievable
dumped in January.
Are you interested in seeing Black Hat? Have you seen the previews for it?
Well, even though it's my boyfriend starring in this movie,
traitor!
I agree with you. I didn't feel like he makes a good hacker. Like, it's not believable. This
well, maybe it'll
jock,
work for you. Maybe you'll like
no,
this
oh, jock
Hemsworth, was, you could do anything.
No. No, I don't have rose-colored glasses
I love how you know what's so funny about this when you talk about it, Amber, and you talk about it the way you do? What's so funny about this is that Hemsworth is more believable swinging a hammer from that was forged by gods other than being an actual real-life hacker.
Using a computer? Yeah.
Use a computer? No.
I can't even imagine him with a smartphone.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a jock. He looks like a jock. He feels like a jock. For him to take that role, it's just wrong.
You know what I think he's doing? I think he is trying to pad his resume a bit.
Yeah.
So that once he's done with the Marvel stuff, right, you can go, hey, I worked with Michael Mann.
Or Ron Howard.
Hey, with Ron Howard. Yeah. I'm an actor.
Right.
You know, so I think he's trying to pad his resume for sure.
That's smart. That's
smart.
Really smart.
Very smart. So good on Chris Hemsworth.
But you know what? I've seen him, if he lost a lot of weight and like got dirty looking, let his hair grow out more, got really scruffy and really kind of dirty down, I think he would have visually been better. Like the way he looked.
So he's too pretty.
So you mean he's too slick. And you know what?
He's too cut. He's too buff. It's like if he got dirty, like the shallow of his cheeks, you know, his hair grow longer. I mean, he would look good.
Because there's a point in the movie where, you know, inevitably he's shirtless in some scenes, and it's established that he was in prison and he worked
smiling,
out.
Amber,
but I'm thinking, like, was he? I'm thinking, like, you know, he was in prison, but like, was Billy Blanks in prison with him? Like, there's
right.
no way. There's no way you get that
yeah.
from prison.
Wow, that's quite the callback, Billy Blanks. Awesome. You don't even call out the insanity guy who's on television all the time with his rock hard abs.
Yes,
that's
that
too
funny. Too.
That
yeah.
guy too.
Yeah.
All right, so Black Hat is something that should be seen.
I think so.
Why? Okay, then not just a really quick. Why is it getting panned then?
Because the story is convoluted. It's one of these things when the movie is over, it adds up really neatly, but as you're watching the film, it's often hard to figure out exactly what's going on.
That's a Michael Mann thing.
It's exactly a Michael Mann. That's the exact problem I have with Miami Vice. In the last 10 minutes of that movie, everything comes together. In this film, it's a similar thing where you're going, who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? But once the movie's over, you're fine. But while you're watching it, it is murky. It really is.
Okay. So 3 stars from you.
3 stars, solid 3 stars. But I think that's one of the problems. And, you know, for Pete's sake, there's other stuff out there. It's just not a good time for this.
So what you're saying is that people will find this when it hits video.
I think they'll find it. They'll love it. They'll be like, man, like, this guy is consistent. You look at his body work. Michael Mann has made movies that aren't as good as Heat, that aren't as good as Last of the Mohicans and Manhunter. But I mean, I think you'll see
his masterpiece for me.
Manhunter
is his masterpiece.
Good choice.
In my
good
opinion.
Choice. But yeah, but this movie looks like it exists in that world.
Cool.
It's a gorgeous film.
I can't wait to
movie.
See it.
You should see it.
Oh, fantastic! All right, so A couple more movie reviews to go over. Other than Annie, which you despised, is there anything else that you watched that was worth its salt? Any other movies you saw this past couple of weeks you've been off?
No, I stayed away from people.
Did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's the nerd way. I got it. That's cool. Collector J, you said that you saw John Wick this weekend, and you also saw, we'll talk about John Wick in a minute, you saw something even more insane starring the one and only Michael Keaton. You watched Birdman.
I watched the documentary of Michael Keaton.
Which, the irony of that is, right.
I saw Birdman.
What did you think?
You know, I didn't know really a lot about this movie. I remember when it first came out, my first thought was it was going to be some type of superhero movie.
Sure.
Right? Birdman. Some superhero or fictional character. But then I lost any really thought of the movie.
Sure.
And then when it came out. So it was not what I was expecting, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Interesting. Okay.
Right off from the beginning, you could tell it was going to be more of an art piece.
Right, you did.
It was definitely more of an art piece. And I've read some articles that it's more of an art piece. And I think it was done really well for the type of movie it was supposed to be. If I was comparing it to what my first thought of what it was going to be, then it would have been a bad movie because there was no superheroes. Right.
The director Inarritu is not known for art films, so that's
but
a
movie. It was very artistic in the fact that it was disjointed. It was kind of all over the place sometimes, but I think that was the point. The way I saw it, you know, him struggling with being the similarities between Michael Keaton and who he was playing.
Him trying to brush off the Birdman character.
The Birdman character, right. Which is what he's doing now. I mean, with the whole Batman franchise. I mean, he came out and said, you know, I'm Batman. I mean, that's just which sums it up. But the correlation and then, you know, the foreshadowing that was done throughout the movie.
Sure.
From the way they set it up and the way it ended, not only was he basically living out what he does in real life as Michael Keaton, but he was living the life of the play that he was directing, writing, and starring in.
Right.
You know, one scene where they're doing the rehearsals before the guy gets the thing dropped on his head. He gets the thing dropped on his head. You know, the wife or one of the ladies is talking about how the guy, how dare he, but he couldn't even kill himself right. So at the end, there was a lot of foreshadowing. So it was kind of like a story about a story about a story.
Right.
Which was very interesting. I think the way they shot it with things, the artistic shots where it's just basically just scenes, no one really in it. The music, I think, was done well.
There's quite an eclectic cast in this, too.
I think Keaton did good. I think, what was his name?
Ed Norton is in it.
Ed Norton did a good job.
Emma Stone is in it.
She did a good job as the daughter. Ed Norton as the crazy, full of himself. But then they dived into some real issues, I think, that some of the actors might have. You know, with Edward Norton, there's a scene where he's basically the lover of this wife of Michael Keaton and gets caught in bed, but under the sheets, before the scene, you know, before they start, he's like, I guess they were boyfriend, girlfriend in the movie.
Sure.
He all of a sudden gets excited.
Right.
And he's like, hey, let's do it right now. Right. And she's like, she finds that very revolting, da, da, da. But you find out later that in real life, he has a performance issue.
Sure.
Unless he's on stage.
Right.
So the only time he's comfortable and can actually do anything is when he's acting.
Correct.
Not in real life.
You think Chris Hemsworth has this problem?
I think he does.
He's got kids.
Okay, so then on a scale of 1 to 5, where would you put Birdman?
3.5.
Really? Wow, that's pretty good.
It's not for everyone.
It definitely wasn't for me.
It's not for everyone, so I mean, I could only give a 5 or a 4 to if you have to see it. If you're not into the artistic, it was short enough to not drag out. I think if it dragged out another 30 minutes, it would have been too long. I'm not sure how. I think it was an hour and...
It's an hour and change. You break it down with your reviews. Like, how would you break it down? Because, like, you break it down with cinema,
artistic level. An artistic level. And then art is always subjective. So that's always the hard one.
Always.
So for me, I like abstract art. Mm-hmm. So for
so it worked for you then.
So it worked. Nice. You know, so that would probably get a 4-star from excitement level. I mean, there really wasn't anything exciting about it.
No,
except for Edward Norton.
Edward Norton was excited. He just wasn't exciting. From, you know, an excitement, it's not your shoot 'em up or guns or any type of action to it, so that wouldn't even go into the thing. Acting, I think they did really well, so that would probably be 4 as well, maybe 3.5.
Interesting.
4. But overall, because it's not for everyone, probably definitely.
I think there is only, for me, there's only one thing that is revealing in the film. And I think it's when there's an exchange between Emma Stone and Michael Keaton in the film where she and he are arguing and how he doesn't really understand the real world anymore and things like that. Why don't you have a Facebook page? And he's, you know, he doesn't know what Facebook is or whatever. He says, and he says, you know, well, this is ridiculous or whatever. And she makes an interesting comment about, I don't want to try and give away the whole thing because that whole scene was probably the best thing for me, where she goes, you know, basically like, you don't exist. Because you don't...
When he catches her,
right,
and like she opens up.
Right, and you don't exist in this, you know. And it's interesting how he made that connection between, you know, Facebook and the whole or how social media has hit this, and how, you know, it's not us that don't exist. It's you that doesn't exist anymore. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he's not active.
Because he's not active. At the end of the movie, he is.
Right, exactly.
Because of what he accomplishes everything that,
but I think that was quite, sets out to do. I think that was quite revealing in the fact that it's never been portrayed that way in movies. Social media has always been social media has become very part of the norm in movies now, and it's interesting how you portray that in the fact that now it seems like you're non-existent if you're not on social media. And I thought that was kind of interesting the way he portrayed that. But for me, I was not a fan of the movie. I don't think I'd watch it again. I just think, I don't know, and I think it's a little overhyped in my opinion. But I think Michael Keaton, who is always fantastic, was good in the film. I think the performances were great. And I think that everybody should watch it maybe once, if at all. So, you want to see it?
Yeah. Amber? See? I like artsy-fartsy movies.
Do you?
I do. I'm okay.
This is right up your alley then. You should definitely dig it.
I like the scene with the critic. Although I got to say, I don't relate to that. I've never, ever... said that to anyone. I would never say that to anyone, but I like that scene in the film.
I think the reason I didn't like it, it was Hollywood stroking in its own ego. And the fact is that I believe that is because I think one of the biggest ways Hollywood tries to make it more than what it is. I'm a big believer in the fact that all those guys, all the actors at work, they believe, guys like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck and things like that, in my opinion, this is just me, I believe that they think they're part of the working class. Like, they're part of the working class. Even though they make hundreds of millions of dollars, they believe they're part of this working class. So they think that they have this right to be as arrogant and obtuse because they think they're part of this whole culture that they think they're part of this Hollywood working class culture that makes all of this money. And I think that I think in all honesty, they believe that they are afforded the right to be jerks and to be idiots. Or to be asses. I don't like to swear, but just to be that way to other people and to each other.
That's
just my opinion.
I think if you're referring to Edward Norton character, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
I think though with Keaton's character, I think that's more realistic, and because theater and Broadway is very different than
movies. I know that for sure.
He gets in with the critic and he's like, I put everything on the line. He's mortgaging his house. I mean, he's doing that happens a lot.
Sure.
In Broadway, my grandmother was a very big player in Broadway and the arts, and some people make it, but most people don't.
No, I mean, Broadway is
a dime a dozen.
And that's what I'm saying, is that there is a huge difference between the movies and the theater. Theater is quite the production. It's not, you know, it's not all Broadway,
right.
You know, as
I mean,
it were.
Three preview nights, and then you go into the real show, and you're fine. I mean,
You know,
that's more realistic.
Right, exactly. And
but Ed was your typical...
And I want to give him credit, too, because we're giving, as we should, we're giving Keaton a lot of credit for mirroring his own life. And yet Norton, in the same way, is mirroring his own reputation as being a very difficult actor.
No, exactly. Correct, you know. This is the reason. I mean,
I want to give him a lot of credit.
Watching this movie, you realize why. You realize why he was not put up again for the Incredible Hulk role. Watching this at all, and of course it's a reflection of his own life, I believe. This is the reason why. His difficulty to work with. Although he was great in The Incredible Hulk, I think he should have been back.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why.
I have one question, though.
Yes.
I want to know why we can't get Spider-Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but we can get Spider-Man at the end of Birdman. That's what I want to know.
That's true. Good point.
He got the rights to have someone dressed up as Spider-Man in that movie. Bring him to the Marvel Universe.
Isn't Sony one of the backers for this film? Like that? I mean, I even though I don't think they're on the titles, but I think
put him in this movie, they should put him in the.
Possible.
It was actually kind of funny to see.
Yeah.
Spidey dancing around,
right.
Not real Spider-Man, but someone.
Sure.
But I mean, they were name dropping. I mean, it seemed like there was a fourth wall that was broken at the same time, yeah. And they're saying get so and so. Jake Gyllenhaal was it was interesting that they were dropping all these names.
Crazy. So, all right, so
it was fun.
Three and a half stars. All right, so you watch.
If you like artsy movies, and I would give it a
so
four.
You watch Birdman and liked it, and then you watched something else, did you not?
Well, I saw John Wick and The Equalizer over the last couple weeks.
I'm not sure if I said
anything about either one of those.
Okay, we saw The Equalizer. We liked it. Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I mean, it's definitely a Denzel Washington movie.
Oh, yeah,
I like
for
most
sure.
of his movies where he plays himself. I mean, it hearkened to Man on Fire.
I love Man on Fire.
That was a movie I teared up at the end.
Sure, I like Man on Fire.
But it was a very...
You saw Man on Fire, right, Amber? The one with Dakota Fanning?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much anything he does, I like. As long as he's doing Denzel Washington.
All right, so more importantly... The movie that I love, one of my favorite movies of last year. How was John Wick? Did you like it?
Awesome. It really brought back the first Matrix.
Doesn't it though? It really harkens back to what he does well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
doesn't talk a lot.
Right.
Some great fight scenes.
Some great dialogue.
It does have some great dialogue.
Keep asking if I'm back. Yeah, I'm thinking I'm back.
That's so awesome.
It's almost like I'm getting Johnny Utah on steroids from Point Break.
Well, there was a movie he did recently that I actually liked, where he was a conglomerate in Japan or China.
Oh, the Man of Tai Chi. I think you're talking about. No,
that doesn't sound like the title, but. He recruited kids, and they'd always pay him.
Isn't that it?
And he fought the guy at the end.
Man of Tai Chi.
Is it
he
Man
directed,
of Tai Chi?
He directed the film called The Man of Tai Chi. That's a good movie. That was Keanu Reeves' directorial debut.
Yeah.
That's correct. Man of Tai Chi.
Yeah, that's the one. That was the more recent movie I saw of him that Keanu did before this one. But John Wick, awesome movie. Definitely going to see it again. I bought it on Voodoo, so.
And you wonder why I love my dog so much. Come on, man. I'm watching the movie and I'm damn straight. You're messing with the man's dog.
I could understand if your wife had died and then you got the dog.
And she bequeathed it to you to deal with her loss, which is so, like,
I know,
sentimental.
The only question I had is, after that, right,
mm-hmm.
every single person in this world knew who John Wick was, right?
Right.
Every single person, thank you for, I mean, the doorman, he says, take the night off. He goes, he says, thank you. I mean, just John Wick is so revered by this underworld that everyone knows his name.
Yeah.
Right.
And he is the guy you hire to kill the boogeyman, right?
Right.
Except for that dang guy's kids, that dang guy's son. How did the son not know who John Wick was?
I think, let me tell you why. By the way, did you watch John Wick yet, Amber? Oh, you have to see it. It's really good. You'll love it.
Man of Tai Chi.
You will love John Wick.
Even if the kid was a spoiled little brat, there's no way he would not have heard the name John Wick and seen the face.
And here's the reason why I think that worked is because I think it was also drawing a...
It'd been, 7 years since he went out?
No, yeah, it's been a long time.
So
but
it was...
It was a different generation. So, like, they have different assassins. He's been out of the game for a long time. Remember in the film, he asks the guy, I want out. And that's what he does. And so what does the dad task him with in the movie? An impossible mission.
He never said what the impossible mission was.
Yes.
I think it was killing all the other assassins.
You think so?
Because none of the old... Or there was only one that was...
Right.
There was only a couple maybe in the movie that were old.
Right.
Yeah.
But there had to... I think maybe it was something like that.
All I will say is this. I really enjoyed the fact that John Wick in the film is the boogeyman in the film as he's portrayed as such. But I really like the fact that what Willem Dafoe's character brings to the show, because it almost breaks the myth, which is very cool. Right. And I really, and like I said, I don't want to reveal anything. But if you have not seen John Wick, that is a 4.5-star movie for me. I thought it was a tremendous action flick.
For me, I thought it was more like 5.
Wow.
I was going to give it a 5. It was going to be my first 5.
It was. It is a great movie, and I have to say it is lean, mean, and it reminds me of Walter Hill back in the 70s and 80s.
Even though I watched it while holding my 4-month-old to try to get him to sleep.
Right.
Because that's what I do at night. When I'm home alone and the wife's working, I put movies on and watch them. And I watched it, sat in there, and...
That's the best.
So I wasn't like 100% into it.
That's the best way to acclimate kids to loud noises is let them listen to action movies, man. It's a good shot.
Bone snapping.
Heck, absolutely. So John Wick, fantastic film. Need to own it. Need to watch it. Need to have it. It's a tremendous film. If you have not seen it, take a look at it. All right. Anything we're missing in the movie front? Are we good? We good, Amber?
I wrote the article for
Book of Life.
Book of Life. Go check it out. Read it.
Cool. All right. You did that. We talked about that last week. It's still up now on there as well.
We talked about the movie. We didn't talk. I wrote the review because we talked about it.
Did we? I thought last week we said that your review was up. I could have swore we did.
I thought we talked about it briefly.
We talked about it. Yeah. We talked about the movie. No, we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Did we talk about Book of Life? I thought we did.
We talked about the movie.
No, we talked about your review. I said your review was up. You're going to have to re-listen. You don't listen to the shows. That's not good. All right, so yes.
His review of Zero Theorem is now up.
Zero Theorem.
That just came out on DVD Blu-ray.
The Terry Gilliam film. It's been out on video on demand for quite some time. Finally hit the Blu-ray shelves. Your review is up. And good. Is it good?
Yeah, movie solid game? Film.
Good. All right. Christoph Waltz. Fantastic.
Excellent. Very surprising.
All right, great. Well, I want to see Zero Theorem. I'm so excited to see that. All right, let's get into some really quick news here. All right, boys and girls. First off, big news on the movie front. The announcement to end all announcements by Marvel was made. It's going to affect the movies in some way down the line, don't you think?
I think it's actually setting up the comic books to more carry through to the movies.
Well, like you said, it's the New 52. DC made the New 52. They basically rewrote history. Marvel's doing the same thing by destroying the Marvel Universe. So,
Secret Wars Take 2.
I'm telling you something right now. I'm thinking that this is going to have repercussions for all of its properties with all major studios.
Oh yeah, I think
that's why I think it's going to affect the movie universes.
Yeah, I can see that.
So so they made the announcement that they're destroying the Marvel Universe and starting from scratch.
Right.
So,
and Stan Lee said that's a good thing.
And I think Stan Lee's right. I think Stan Lee likes to see his comics reinvented. I think he enjoys seeing what people do with his stuff.
Well, and he said it, you can't tell the same stories over and over and
Correct.
Over again.
Correct, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, as much as he loves the 50 years of comics that he helped create, he knows, he's not dumb.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. So,
plus he makes more money.
Yeah,
I mean, royalties that guy makes.
He is the chairman
ridiculous emeritus
for Marvel, so, he's highly respected. I think it's going to get felt through the movie universe as well as the comic book universe.
Especially the TV. I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s going to definitely get it. Carter, maybe not so much since it's set in the old universe.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to have an effect, guys? Amber?
Barry? I'm looking forward to having a new generation of writers and creators to come up with another universe because I'm ready for a new series of Saturday morning cartoons because I grew up with a certain mindset and storyline and understanding.
It's funny that that's not even a thing anymore. Yeah. Isn't that weird?
But it's coming back. Like the Saturday morning cartoons. Like I'm looking forward to that because I want to see a new creation. I want to see new writers come on because I want to get rid of the whole, oh, this was how it was, and that's how it was thought of and written.
Right.
But those guys are gone and done, so let's put that to bed and let's just destroy it.
Well, don't put him out to pasture just yet. Stan Lee's not dead. Man.
I'm waiting for him to do that because I have a few signed pieces that
Exactly.
Oh, man, you guys are evil. What is wrong with you?
Too soon.
Well, he hasn't even died yet.
Yeah, I know, but still.
It's only too soon if he died.
You're promoting his death.
No. We're celebrating his life.
Oh,
It would be too soon if he passed away in the next hour. I was promoting, selling my stuff.
Okay.
With his name.
All right.
In the next hour, you know you would put that.
Yeah,
you would put your signed copy.
That would be on eBay.
So fast.
You got to wait at least a few days for the people to stop mourning to go on eBay and start buying stuff.
Right.
Because they're not going to go on eBay right away.
It's all planned out.
He already is. I know. It's scary.
Now.
It's so scary.
From my military experience, I can think on the fly.
I know.
Compartmentalize.
You know,
once
Stanley is dead, I'm putting my comics up on eBay, and we're going to have better Saturday morning cartoons once Stanley is dead.
You see him so much as cough, you're going to put that on eBay. You know.
No, I want Stanley to do another 94 years, if it's even possible. Or 84, or whatever he is.
Well, whatever the case may be, you guys make two solid points. One, putting the Marvel Universe on a new course is of prime importance to its longevity. So I think both for the comic, blowing up the Marvel Universe or getting rid of it with a new Secret Wars is
when the new 252 came out for DC,
yeah.
It like greatly increased their sales.
Oh, absolutely.
It was a huge part of them turning around.
It was refreshing.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and it was. It was refreshing.
And they have great art.
No, they do. And I think that it'll do the same for Marvel. And also the fact is that the properties which the studios hold will mean very little now. So...
Yeah, I mean, they can write out... If Spider-Man doesn't play nice, just don't even bring him back. I mean, that's just...
They probably
wouldn't do that, but they already canceled Fantastic Four.
Yep.
Wolverine has died.
Yeah.
He might come back, but...
In the comics we're talking, by the way.
In the comics, but... Yeah. I mean, that's you know, he died in this universe. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity to bring back Wolverine.
Yeah. No,
you know,
you're absolutely
right.
Because
they would never go, because they said they're never going
to
bring
him back. This is what they were trying to allude to anyways.
But
and
then,
that's why they're getting
those
characters.
Reminds me of the announcement that they were going to kill off Deadpool in April. Everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're going to kill off Deadpool because everyone dies off, and they're going to restart it.
It's still April 10th, right? They're killing them all.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the date, but
it's the early April, I think.
Everyone's getting killed off in April.
Yeah.
Even Deadpool.
Yeah. The guy who killed the whole Marvel Universe.
Oh, Deadpool's just going to go hide out in the DC Universe for a little bit.
Is that what he's going to do?
Yeah, he does it.
So that's the announcement to end all announcements from a few days ago. Marvel is destroying their own universe with another Secret Wars, which is interesting. I'm very excited.
The other one was 30 years ago
30,
or something like that?
30 years ago. So they're going to do it yet again. Okay, moving on to another bit of news. The one and only, it is TV news, but it's still news nonetheless. They have cast the Supergirl role for the new CBS show. It's a female from the series Glee. Her name, I believe, is Benoist, it's her name. Doggone it. Melissa Benoist, that's her name. She is from Glee, so if you watch Glee, you'll know what she looks like.
That's her right there?
Yeah, she's fairly svelte as far as... I'm imagining her in the suit is what I'm doing.
I hope she goes blonde.
She's gonna have to go blonde because
Supergirl has to be blonde.
Supergirl is blonde.
Yeah.
They could be changing that, I guess, but I mean, it's not that big a deal.
Then call it something else.
Oh, right. I'm like I said.
Somebody photoshopped her in the suit. I mean, we got those shots, right? I mean,
did somebody photoshop her in the suit?
Hasn't somebody? That'd be weird if someone hasn't.
I could do it.
Well, Melissa Benoist is her name. She is part of Glee. I don't know what other projects she's been in. That's how much I don't watch Glee. She has been cast as the new Supergirl for the new CBS series, and hopefully it's good. I'm excited to see what CBS brings to the table as far as comic book TV. So
that's the closest you got so far.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
No, but she ain't gonna have the same. She can't have the same outfit as Man of Steel. Come on now, this is her at the Comic Con, or no?
No, that's not her.
That's not her.
No, that's definitely not her. Anyway, you troll the internet yourself to
no
look for pictures of Melissa Benoist.
I might be the first.
You might be the first. Yeah. Melissa Benoist, Benoist. That's her name. I'm excited to watch the new Supergirl. I'm kind of interested.
And I mean, they're already talking Flash and Arrow crossovers.
Yeah, they are.
They actually said they wrote it with that in mind.
Interesting.
I wrote about this kind of in my my looking back review on Supergirl last year, just mm-hmm. how I think if that movie did anything right, it's that they cast the perfect actress for the role. And I think it's absolutely key to why one of the reasons that property could work
sure.
in some way.
You ever see the European cut of
yeah, it's better. Longer.
It's longer, but much better.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Helen Slater was perfect for that role.
Yeah.
So I think that is very – she was very good. Matter of fact, I'm really surprised that they didn't tap the girl – she has a long Swedish name. She played Supergirl in the Smallville show.
Yeah.
And they should have tapped her to play because she was good too. She had a good look about her. She had the face, she had the hair, she looked good. She would have been and she looked well in the suit that was given to her for that Smallville role. So, yeah, I'm excited to see where we go with the Supergirl. I don't know how strong it will be because it's Supergirl is a B character, I think. She's not an A-list character by any stretch.
So is Arrow and...
I think... see, and that's where...
He was more B-ish than A-ish.
I tell you what, though. Arrow is one of those characters, when he was ever teamed with Green Lantern, I've said this 1,000 times before, those team-ups between Arrow and Green Lantern were epic back in the Denny O'Neil days. When he was writing those comics, they were very controversial. They dealt with real world situations.
I really like those. Guardians of the Galaxy was B-list too, so
I don't know. It's
I think it's, if it's done right, B-list can make it. If it was C-list, if it was like
I'm still waiting for my Booster Gold television series. That's what I'd love to see.
C-list, yeah, right there.
That I would like to see a Booster Gold. He's an awesome character, by the way. So anyway, yeah, she's pretty.
I have some of this coming.
She could be. She has the body for it. This woman does, but don't know if she has the charisma to pull off Supergirl. But we'll see. We'll definitely see.
I think the
for crying out loud, Wonder Woman was canceled on NBC. What makes them think that this is going to make it?
Well, that was because the pilot sucked. I mean, just like it, like there's no other way to put it. And I think for Supergirl, it's going to be the acting. It has nothing to do with the looks. I mean, if you think about who they cast as Wonder Woman in the Man of Steel versus Batman, she doesn't have the look of what most people think of as Superwoman.
Right.
So it's all going to come down to the acting.
You can
work with the looks.
Right.
As long as they're not, you know, whatever that America's Got, British Got Talent singer, what was her name? Sue. As long as it doesn't look like that.
All I know is okay. That I definitely want the suit to be the half shirt. For Supergirl.
It has to be because she has to look like a cheerleader.
Yeah,
she
does.
She is, you know, Superman's cheerleader.
Have you seen the pilot for Wonder Woman? I never even saw it. I saw captions of it.
No, I don't think anybody really did, but the
couple people
the,
did.
The executive
reviews,
said it sucked.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, they say it was terrible.
I wanted Wonder Woman.
One of the podcasts, Nerdist, or someone that would see it, saw it, and said that it completely sucks.
Mm. Wow.
So,
amazing.
Yeah.
Crazy. All right. Well, that's pretty much the biggest news. I mean, it's January, so there isn't a lot of news coming out of Hollywood or even for television.
You have all the shows that started up again.
Sure. Right.
So you have Gotham, The Flash, right. Arrow have all started.
Right.
S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't yet. Walking Dead hasn't yet.
That's in that's just a few weeks away.
Just a few weeks. House of Cards is also in February. I'm gonna throw
27th.
That in there. But they're bringing Red Hood.
Red Hood to Gotham.
To Gotham, yep. As well as
I saw the
Crane.
Previews for that. Yeah, Dr. Crane.
Dr. Crane,
yeah.
The dad.
Yeah.
From the comics. So that's kind of newsworthy. If you're into Gotham, it's turning out to be a good show.
Gotham is still on track to be a great show.
Carter came back.
Agent Carter.
Still going.
I'm going to tell you something right now. Agent Carter is probably my favorite television show for superheroes or superhero related.
Mm.
Agent Carter is great. It just has that whole comic strip feel, that Dick Tracy 1940s feel to it. It just feels so good. The sets, the pieces, everything. Have you watched it yet?
Yeah, I like Agent Carter.
I do.
And actually,
I thought you didn't watch shows until like they were done.
I had to see Agent Carter.
Okay. And
I love it.
Okay,
but you know what? I've also gotten feedback from non-comic book loving people, and they really enjoy Agent Carter.
There's something there. They really captured some magic with the Agent Carter character and the Agent Carter time period that they haven't captured with S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter is I hope it lasts because I am intrigued by this character and by what she is, how she relates to the Marvel Universe. It's not overt, but it's definitely, it's there, which is nice. So Agent Carter's on its third episode, or fourth episode, I think.
Yeah, and they have a storyline that SHIELD, I think, took the first, it's on its third season right now, second season.
Right.
I always get my seasons mixed up, but they only recently now got off of the storyline of the writing on the wall. So they took a long time telling the same story.
Sure.
Storyline.
Sure.
So it looks like they might be doing that with this. Not necessarily the Stark stuff getting stolen, but the people behind it.
I love the fact we're seeing Tony Stark's dad. I love how we see the genesis. Jarvis. The genesis of Jarvis.
Jarvis.
We get to see those things. We get to see the
you have Venko that dropped in there.
Right. The guy who made the guy who was Whiplash's dad? Is it his dad or is
that's Venko.
Venko, right.
It's Venko or
right, that's what I'm saying. Isn't that Whiplash's dad?
Dad. That's the dad. In the movie, he got supposedly everything was stolen from him. By Stark's dad.
It's really cool seeing this stuff. I really, really dig it a lot. And I think that Hayley Atwell's first of all, she's incredibly attractive. So she's definitely easy on the eyes. And she's definitely fun to watch because she's a good actress as well. She does a very good job. I think you'd enjoy it too.
I think you'd really enjoy the
time and the place. Mm-hmm. And it's not, like I said, it doesn't push the comic book in your face. But those things are there that you'll pick up on when you watch.
It's all science. You know, he's creating inventions. There's no superheroes
per se. Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, people are I think picking up on this like they did like Mad Men. Period pieces.
Yeah.
Back when times, while we might not like some of the things we're doing, the times were a little more simpler than they are today.
I really like
that. There's no cell phones. I mean, it was less busy. I mean, life was different. I mean, in Carter, they're, you know, she's in a girl's boarding home or whatever they were called.
Right.
You know, curfews at 10. I mean, they had strict rules. I mean, that was things that went on, but it was simpler. Life was a little bit simpler.
Yeah.
And people are digging that because I think. You know,
we want to get back to more.
We want
to
get back to.
And I will say this is that, and I think I mentioned this on a podcast that that Amber wasn't on, but I did mention that in the Agent Carter, they hit too hard this whole thing about women being unequal. My mother was born in the 40s and lived the 50s, and if that became more of a thing in the 60s, so she said that a lot of the stuff that's happening in Agent Carter is something that she can't relate to because she grew up in that era and it wasn't really like that. She was the majority of her life. Yeah, she was in Hawaii for sure. She said that that was more prevalent in the 60s when she was in her mid 20s.
Right.
That kind of attitude where you're slapping women on the posteriors and things like that and not being respected. She said in the 50s, the majority of men were more in public, at least were more polite, more, you know, so I was like, okay, well that's, you obviously know because you were living there. So, but that's my only minor criticism of Agent Carter. Other than that, I think it's great. I know they're trying to push this whole thing with, you know, she being empowered as a woman and trying to break through the glass ceiling of all these guys running the show at the agency. So, so far I think it's good though. I know they're establishing that character. So it's very important for her to be able to do that. And so with that in mind, I think it's still, I still think it's a great show. And I hope Disney does the right thing by it and keeps it going so that we are able to see the fruits of the labor of the show. So that's what I'm hoping. I'm glad you're watching it. I'm very shocked, Amber, that you're watching it.
I want to check it out. And you mentioned really quickly, you mentioned Fantastic Four earlier. We're supposed to be 2 weeks out from seeing the new Fantastic Four film trailer.
Yes.
Is anybody excited about that? Or
I don't think anybody is. And I think it's because...
Well, the executives aren't even excited.
I think... Well, that's because I think it has a lot to do with Max Landis and Josh Trank, who... Josh Trank is directing it. I think Max Landis wrote some of it. I'm not too sure if I'm correct in that. I think he helped write it. I don't know. I don't think anybody is excited, and I think that's because they were so disappointed in the other two. I think that's what
it
is.
I think it has to do more with where direction they took it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Dr. Doom is a computer guy that doesn't even go by that. He's just
It's his screen name.
His screen name.
Seems like they're really trying to appeal young.
You don't have. Yeah. You don't have. I mean, One of them's adopted. Yeah. Because you have a black guy playing...
Human Torch.
Human Torch.
I was never a fan of Fantastic Four.
Yep. Oh, really? I always enjoyed the Fantastic Four because I always...
The origin story.
I really like the Fantastic Four because I always liked the fact that in the Fantastic Four... that they were always family. No matter how much they disagreed with each other, no matter how much Ben Grimm didn't like the Human Torches, I really liked that whole family aspect to it and how they stuck together. I kind of dug
that. They weren't cool. Like, they weren't that fun for me to watch.
And I think that was kind of the point, don't you think? I thought.
Well, I think Fantastic Four, both of them, they were made during a time when comic book movies really weren't as popular as they were today.
True.
So they
good
weren't
point.
Putting as much into it.
Good
it,
point.
It was always a crapshoot with comic book characters.
Up until what? The original X-Men?
From 89, or even the original X-Men, but you still had a lot of missteps along the way with that franchise. Sure. So up until it seemed like The Dark Knight, any comic book related movie really didn't have the same backing.
If you're talking about Last Stand, that you sir...
I said a
incorrect.
Lot of missteps. I didn't say every single one was a misstep.
The last stand, everybody hates. All the comic book guys hate. I actually enjoyed it for what it was. I thought
it was
fun. It
didn't happen. Thank you, Days of
Future Past.
So Fantastic Four, besides like that, like the movies, wasn't it Jessica Alba?
Yes.
Okay. I like her. I think she's hot, but I just felt like she wasn't Sue.
You know what? I think, in that respect, you are correct.
She's not Sue.
I don't think of her as a Sue Storm either.
She can't be like I thought everyone else fit the character pretty well, and she just kind of stuck out. Like she's this Mexican Sue with this weird wig.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of agree with you on that. I mean, because I thought Ian Griffud was pretty good. Is that how you pronounce his name?
I think he is. I love Michael Chiklis as the Thing.
I think that was a no-brainer.
I thought the casting was good. I thought they handled that aspect of the story good.
I even thought Chris Evans was great as the Human Torch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But back before they said an actor couldn't play more than one superhero, because you'd hate to have... the original Fantastic Four cast meet the Captain America cast.
I think the problem is that the misstep.
Silver Surfer? I mean, I like the Silver Surfer.
The misstep.
Yeah, that was fine.
The misstep for me was the fact that they got Tim Story to direct this movie. Both of them. I didn't understand why they would pick Tim Story. Tim Story does the barbershop movies. It just doesn't fit his. The fact is that you go to him once and it doesn't work, but then you go to him again?
Yeah.
I didn't under...
And if both times it felt like he was really straining to meet the vision. It didn't feel like a comfortable fit for him.
Well, he took Fantastic Four and probably made it more into his vision. I mean, it just...
Yeah.
There's nothing about it that screams Fantastic Four.
No.
Right.
There's nothing. There's no way that this... I mean, it's going to be very... Are they even going to have superpowers?
Let's be honest. Whoever's listening to this podcast, unless you're really in the know, who knew there's going to be a trailer next week sometime? No one. Really? No one's promoting it. No one's pushing it like they do the Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
Come on now. So obviously there's something up with this Fantastic Four thing. Has to be. Yeah. So I'm...
Who's doing Fantastic Four? Is that Sony again?
No. That's Fox. Fox owns the properties of Deadpool.
Well, let's hope that Fox X-Men does not get hacked.
Fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the North Koreans will take umbrage with
something.
But
hopefully,
sure.
It sounds like, though, no matter how bad this Fantastic Four movie is, they're starting the filming, I think, in April for Deadpool.
Yes.
And that one should do well.
Right.
I think, though, I mean, they have the right character... They have the right people on board for that. So
I'll be honest. Out of all the characters, I think there's only two that Marvel really wants from Fox, and that is Deadpool and the X-Men. Mm. That's what they want because I think they want Deadpool for the Marvel Universe. In my opinion, I could.
You don't think? I mean, Spider-Man followed by a close third.
I'm just talking about Fox properties. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I don't think everybody knows that Spider-Man is, regardless of how you feel about the second movie, Spider-Man is part of the canon period. So that's just the thing. All right. Anyway, so we do know now that we're talking about television that Arrow is back. Gotham is back. Gotham was good this past week. Morena Baccarin, the woman who was in formerly of Firefly, she is in it. She has made an appearance. She is playing what's her name? Isn't she a doctor in the show?
Doctor, yeah.
Doctor.
She's actually a well-known.
I don't remember, but she is quite. They pick some pretty attractive ladies to play in these comic book movies or comic book television shows.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
It ends.
I'm not objectifying them by any means, Amber. Just,
why not? I'm just objectifying
them. I don't seem to remember any Chris Hemsworth
rants recently.
Exactly.
Look at Thor.
So.
I mean, like, he'll always be Thor to me.
So Gotham is back, Arrow is back, and so is The Flash. I really thought that I haven't seen it yet, but I really think the fact that Flash has Captain Cold and
Firestorm
and
that was the only
not Firestorm. What's his name? Heatwave.
But they bring up Firestorm.
They brought Dominic Purcell and the guys from Prison Break.
Yep,
they're playing the villains.
But I mean,
that's cool.
Captain Cold had some cheesy lines.
Yeah.
Which I thought were a little too cheesy at some point, just the way they were delivered. But, it was really cool to see those two guys. I remember Heatwave. He also played, what else was he in?
Dominic Purcell was the villain in Blade Trinity.
That's what it was. I knew I saw his face. I was like, I liked him in Blade Trinity, so.
It's disgusting that I have all of this brain power to come up with crap like that. Dominic Purcell.
Five times
who
six.
Would have known that he was the villain in Blade Trinity?
Blade Trinity.
Oh my gosh.
I did because I saw it only a few weeks ago again.
But I haven't seen it in years. What is wrong with me? I've got all of this useless knowledge. It's kind of a handicap.
Actually, it's very useful on a podcast.
I guess it must be. I guess it is.
Did you know that Richard Roundtree was in Steel? Do you have that one too?
Yeah, I have that one too. Richard Roundtree is also in Steel.
But all the episodes, other than I haven't seen Arrow, but all of them were strong, the ones I did see so far.
Cool. All right, well. Pull up the Blu-ray.com. I want to get into your latest DVD and Blu-ray releases for the week. There aren't many. There are not many at all. It is January. It is a dead month for Blu-ray and DVD releases. But, of course, we did get Lucy this week.
Yep.
I still have to see that. We got The Box Trolls, which is a totally forgotten animated film, which, ironically enough, is nominated for a Best Animated Picture Oscar.
Yeah.
But The Book of Life didn't get one.
Yep.
No,
I mean the animation of that movie. I mean, I will always go back to that.
Well, now I'm interested in The Box Trolls. I want to know. It looked horrible.
Yeah,
I thought it looked terrible. Was your son interested in watching The Box Trolls at all?
Box Trolls is too grown up for him.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So The Box Trolls came out on Blu-ray today. Also, this week. Also, The Drop, another forgotten film, which apparently is fantastic.
It's great. Yeah.
Starring the last role for James Gandolfini, and Tom Hardy is in it. It actually looks really good. It's kind of a mob flick, you know, so I'm very interested. Also, Annabelle,
Annabelle.
A surprising sequel that
did you write a
Professor
on that
Barry.
One?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He did. Professor Barry did write a review
I was
for
watch
Annabelle.
It and then,
I'm
trying to get in part of this whole Barry's fan club of.
Yeah.
The Critics Society.
He wants to be part of Critics Corner.
I want to be part of Barry's awesome
his super awesome Film Critics Association.
Look,
that's what you should call it.
If you won't join our clan, I'm going to join his
clan.
We're
going to join his clan. All right.
Not if you're calling it a clan.
We'll spell it wrong. We'll spell it with like a K or something.
Annabelle. That was funny. That was actually kind of funny. All right, so Annabelle is the sequel or prequel.
Prequel.
To it's a to The Haunting, or not The Haunting, but
Conjuring.
The Conjuring.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
That's out on Blu-ray and DVD today. So would you recommend people see that?
Yes, I thought it was really scary. I thought it really worked.
Cool.
Good horror film.
All right, next film on that list is a film that you talked about recently. Your review of it is up right now on MauiWatch.com. I'm sure it's also on up on Rotten Tomatoes as well.
It will be.
Good, fantastic. It is Zero Theorem, the newest film from Terry Gilliam. It is starring Christoph Waltz, and it's basically about finding love in an internet-fueled world, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that basically what it is?
There's a little more to it than that, but at the heart of it is a love story.
Interesting.
In all the wrong places.
Here you go.
You know what? Speaking of Terry Gilliam as a director, I love everything Terry Gilliam does because everything I watch that he makes me feel so uncomfortable. You ever notice that whenever you watch
it? Is he related to the Gilliam on the island?
No. This is.
Well, I know, but I said related, not the same.
Not even related, no, because they spell it differently. Yeah. Different last name, they spell it differently.
Yeah. I don't know.
Terry Gilliam, ironically enough, worked with one of the greatest comedy troupes of all time, Monty Python.
That's how he got famous.
And that's how he got famous, by doing the animations for them. Mm-hmm. But he's not English. This guy's from Minnesota.
Yeah. He's the Yankee.
Minnesota. Yeah, he's the Yankee in this whole English troupe. I love his visions. I love the way they look. They make you watch his movies. The stories are good most of the time. I never liked Tideland. Didn't like Tideland at all.
That's a tough one for even diehard fans like me.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. But I will say that but it did its job, because it made me completely feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Everything from Time Bandits to Adventures of Baron Munchausen to Brazil to anything he does, it just makes you feel so uncomfortable. But yet you really want to stay in that space because you want to know more.
Do I 12 Monkeys?
Oh, I love 12 Monkeys. That's another film that makes you feel completely
always better than 11.
For sure. Speaking of that, we got to get to that really quick.
Sure.
Zero Theorem is out on Blu-ray today. Also, Audrey Hepburn's War and Peace, starring Peter Fonda.
Have you seen that one? You have.
Yeah.
Is that the remake?
Not a fan.
No, that's not the
remake. No, that's the original.
56.
That's the one, not Peter Fonda, Henry Fonda. That's a tough one to sit through. Yeah. It's not bad, though. I mean, it's not horrible. It's just really long.
Okay.
I was thinking of The King and I.
I would say, to be honest, even for a film aficionado, skip it. It's not that big a deal. Okay. Also on Blu-ray today is the Pirates. It is an Asian film. The only reason why I bring it up is because I saw the trailer for it and it looks really cool.
Okay.
It looks like an Asian Pirates of the Caribbean.
Like
Amber, how dare you say those horrible things? So yeah, it looks like a really cool movie. I could be wrong, but the trailer looked kind of fun. A lot of CGI involved, and it looks like it could be a fun show. So The Pirates. It's out on Blu-ray today. And there's a couple other things on Golden Pond. I don't know why I even bring that up.
Not a fan of Golden Pond.
I hate that movie.
Snoozer movie.
It's a snoozer. And last but not least, there's a little film called The Mule that is out on Blu-ray and DVD today. The Mule is apparently it's about a drug mule. I've seen the preview for it. It looks intriguing, but I don't know if I want to watch it. So the fact that I'm bringing up these other smaller movies goes to show you that there is not much out there right now to watch. So take it for what it's worth. Go to the movies. Watch American Sniper. Watch Black Hat, apparently. And then catch up on some old stuff if you've got to. For sure.
I watched the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, too.
I got to watch that again because I hated it.
The film?
Yeah, the film. I've been watching some old stuff.
Too. I gotta watch that again because I hated the film when I first saw it.
It's
not
as good as the book.
It's not the book itself. It's the way. I love Sam Rockwell in it, but I thought that the film was so all over the place. It just didn't really. There was no real focus. It tried to capture the zaniness of the book, but it just left me just confused, and I didn't like that. So I've got to watch it again. Anyway, we were talking about television, and I wanted to save this one because you brought up 12 Monkeys and Terry Gilliam. Sci-Fi has resurrected 12 Monkeys as a television series, and Professor Barry, now that he's alone, has the opportunity to... He has his dog. He has an opportunity to watch television. He watched the premiere of 12 Monkeys on Sci-Fi. What did you think, and is it worth it?
It's unexceptional. It's, once again...
Unexceptional? Is that what you said?
Unexceptional. Yeah, it's cheap. It's small. Even for the Sci-Fi Channel, I feel like there's not a lot to it. It's visually uninteresting. The actor who is playing Cole, the Bruce Willis role from the film, and this is a direct remake. It's not a remake of La Jetée. I mean, it's remaking 12 Monkeys, the movie. And I think,
what?
I mean, it's a remake of the
film. I didn't know that. Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, it is 12
Do you
Monkeys.
Like 12 Monkeys, Amber? Have you seen 12 Monkeys before?
I did.
I love 12 Monkeys. Why would you do that? Why not just offshoot the future?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first episode is basically a retelling of the film.
What?
And it's just not exceptional. The actress they have playing the Madeline Stowe role, she's very good. The actor, instead of having Goines, the Brad Pitt character, played by a male, they have it played by a female. And in this case, the sex change doesn't look like it's going to work. This isn't like Hannibal, where they brilliantly have the paparazzi character played by a female actress. I thought she did a terrific job.
Have you watched season 2 yet, by the way?
No.
Oh my gosh, what is wrong with you?
It's $22. I don't want to pay for it, and I can't find a way to get my hands on it without spending $22, but I'm dying to see it. But no, anyway, 12 Monkeys, I don't think it not a promising pilot by any means. I'm going to stick with it, maybe one or two episodes just to see if it picks up. I love the whole time travel concept, but it doesn't look very good so far.
It's a shame because sci-fi has been really pushing.
Yeah.
This show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. So 12 Monkeys, you would say you stick with it to see if it picks up steam. So
I'm going
to
stick with it. But yeah, so far it's just, you know, it just doesn't look like they had a budget for anything interesting. It just, it's hard to even visually give you an idea. I mean, it reminds me of the film Contagion, visually, the Steven Soderbergh film. Just a lot of, like, bodies and a lot of, like, rooms that haven't been very well kept or washed or dusted. It lacks the richness, and it certainly lacks the sense of humor of the Terry Gilliam film.
Cool. So definitely see if it gets better. Watch the pilot and see if it gets better. If it doesn't, move on.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So 12 Monkeys. All right. Now,
And Arrow and Flash both got renewed for additional seasons.
Gotham did, for sure.
No news on Constantine.
I hope it stays. I like Constantine. It's on here right now. It should stay. All right, switching gears here. Amber is our app of the week. App of the week lady. She said that she told me earlier that she doesn't have an app of the week, but she has been playing a game.
It's embarrassing.
All right, well then tell everybody about what's so embarrassing. What are you playing on your iPhone right now?
Well, I've been playing SimCity Build It, and I mentioned it a while back, and it sucked me in.
Okay, have you spent money?
No, I'm too cheap.
Nice. Okay, I'm also playing a game like you. I play very few mobile games, uh-huh. But I downloaded the app, the WWE Immortals app game. Just because I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So it's fun, and I've been playing. It's kind of cool. It's kind of like the game from a couple years ago, Injustice. It plays exactly the same, except it's WWE characters. So I'm with you. I've been playing that for a bit. How was SimCity Builder? Build It.
It's actually, you know, it's fun.
Really?
It's addicting.
It's a cute little game.
It's a cute game, and if you know you've got an addictive personality, don't touch it. The other game I'm playing actually is a Marvel game called Champions, and
Marvel Champions! I heard about it. Is it good?
It's good. It's fun.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out too.
I spent money on that one because I just had to level. I had to move forward. I couldn't wait.
That is hilarious.
So that's fun.
The only time I've only spent real world money one time on an app in app purchase, and that was when that game The Simpsons came out.
Yeah.
When you're world building, I spent $20 once, and I felt like a moron afterward.
I actually played that game solid for 2 years.
Oh my gosh!
When it came out, and I just deleted it off my phone last month.
Wow!
Because I wasn't able to play it much. It was the same stuff over and over. And you know the little donuts you had to get to be able to buy the good stuff.
Yes.
Let's just say I will not say how much I've spent on that game.
Oh!
But I had a very very robust town.
Did you really?
Yes, I had. I mean, at one point, I had every single, like, I didn't buy them because they do, like, the Christmas special characters. And if you did certain things, I had all of them. For Christmas, for Halloween, for Easter. I mean, just, I put a lot of time into that game, and I deleted it last month.
I did the same thing, and then I finally spent the $20 a week after. I was like, ooh, I'm excited. I'm putting all this stuff up.
$20, but if you do and 40, then, you get, like, 2.5 times
more. I know,
more.
That's the thing, is that I was like, I finally went to myself, about a week and a half after that, I was like, I can't believe I just spent $20 on something that I'm never going to see ever again.
Since you know how much the biggest one is, uh-huh. I did that at least 2 or 3 times.
Holy crap!
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell everybody how much the biggest one is. The biggest, you can buy donuts. There's in the Simpsons game, you can buy donuts, which buys you buildings and things like that.
That you can't get by doing anything in game.
Getting all those donuts that he's talking about, the big one,
like the 3,200
donuts, and that's a lot of donuts because you get a lot of stuff. That's $99.
No! No! No!
Oh. God. So my in-app purchase of 99 cents because I couldn't wait for Spider-Man to move on. Right. Yeah. That's piddly.
You look reserved. You look like Mother Teresa at this point with your frugality.
Have you seen my office?
I have seen your office.
No, I'm not surprised.
I don't have a problem spending money on stuff that I'm
That you're enjoying.
I know. Listen, more power to you. That's fine. But once I spent the $20, I felt like an idiot.
This is a guy who had two World of Warcraft accounts that I was paying for.
That's
so
true.
That I could run at
good
the same
point.
Time.
Yeah. Good point. Good yeah. point.
I when I try to do something, I try to excel in any means
possible
available.
Look at you. This is your military background coming into your nerd life. This
then
is
I
crazy.
Get tired of it and delete
move
it.
On. They did the same thing. The Family Guy game came out, and I downloaded and played it once. And I said, I'm not getting back into this ever again.
But see, I work my butt off, so why can't I at some
amen!
Time?
Amen!
You know?
Who cares if I spend $99 on 3,200 virtual donuts? Who cares?
But you have
the best thing about virtual donuts? It doesn't go to your hips.
It doesn't go to your hips. Nice job, sir.
You're naturally skinny. You can't gain weight anyway.
Actually, the only time I gained weight was in the military. I gained 25 pounds in 3 weeks.
Crazy.
Eating what? You.
He was the chef!
I was a cook. No, but I never ate anything that I cooked.
Smart man.
I didn't like most of the stuff I cooked. I cooked it well, but I didn't eat a lot of the things we were required to cook. I had a cheesecake every other day because we'd always do homemade desserts, and cheesecake's my favorite. And the night baker always made me my own cheesecake, which I would sit and eat in one sitting. So I did that on numerous occasions. No exercise.
You're in a boat.
Once I got off the boat, no, they have like exercise equipment and they have a treadmill and stuff like that. But once I got off, it took me 4 days to lose it.
He's crazy. Naturally look skinny. Wow. Look at him.
That's crazy. Look at you. All right.
You
so now
wrestling really quick. Did you hear about the Triple H thing that happened?
What?
Triple H was in a match with John Cena, and there was a little kid in the front row, and they were watching the match, and apparently, like, Triple H was, like, really, really yelling about how I'm going to rip Cena's head off, and there was a kid in the front row, and he just really visibly just started crying. He was really visibly shaken by the intensity of the performance. Triple H broke character, went up to him, gave him a little hug. It's like, it's okay, pal, it's okay. And during the match, while he's fighting Cena, Triple H went down to make sure the kid was okay, making sure you're all right.
Wow.
Don't worry about it.
Wow, when did that happen?
Was just
that
happened. And then I think it was like a day or two ago. And then
Monday
after the match.
Raw?
Maybe. And then he brought the kid back.
No, probably Thursday Night SmackDown tonight, maybe.
It just broke in the news.
Crazy.
But apparently he brought the kid backstage. He gave him a stack of merch and just like.
Jeez.
Really like. Just like. I love wrestling. That's the point.
I
love wrestling.
Hashtag I love wrestling.
Love that Triple H did that.
What a classy
thing to do.
That's amazing. I have to say, I'm a huge wrestling fan. I'm gonna have one day. I'm gonna have a wrestling podcast. We're gonna talk wrestling. I swear to God.
Have you heard the battle that's going on between Star-Lord and Captain America?
No.
They're having a Twitter battle.
They are.
Yeah, they're having a Twitter
that's
fight.
Speaking of wrestling.
The Star-Lord.
No, battles. Where they, Twitter, because one is for one side of the Super Bowl, and the other likes the other team.
Right.
One likes to see Hawks.
And
Chris Evans.
Chris Evans. Okay.
And they started having a Twitter argument.
I don't cheer for cheaters, by the way. I don't cheer for cheaters.
Right. They made a bet. I mean, the bet, whoever wins the Super Bowl, the other one has to dress up and go to a charity and visit the kids.
That's
is
cool.
what it was. But
that's
they
cool.
they had this whole, like, what was it? The only real captain. Who's the only real captain
America?
Of America is one of the football coaches or something like that.
Oh, right, right, right.
Saying about,
so you can check out their Twitter feed for that stuff?
Yeah,
it's on there? Okay, cool.
Actually,
I'll check that out.
That's cool.
Speaking of...
You want to read bathroom writing?
No, I want to read. Yeah. I want to read graffiti on the bathroom wall. Look to
but
Twitter.
This is good graffiti.
Okay, good. I'll check it out. I will say this: there wasn't also another announcement made for wrestling. WrestleMania 32 is going to be not this year's one, but next year's one is going to be in Texas in the big Jerry Jones AT&T Stadium.
Wow.
That can seat 105,000 people.
Wow.
Isn't
that
going to
be
nuts?
The biggest ever? Or?
That could possibly be the biggest WrestleMania ever.
Biggest
ever in attendance, in indoor attendance. And this could break that record. 93,000 at the time in the Silverdome.
So, makes sense. I mean, I feel like wrestling has just gotten bigger because there is this correlation between just how these guys are spread out in media. Like when we were kids, it's like everybody knew who Hulk Hogan is, but everybody knows who John Cena and Triple H are.
Sure.
I feel like it's everywhere in a way. It never.
I got to latch into the story because I did not see the story about Triple H. That is too cool.
I was so moved by that. Yeah, I got pictures of it. I mean, it's amazing. Like John Cena's in the background.
I watched Diva
flexing, and in the foreground, you've got Triple H like just embracing this poor little kid who's just like really.
Wow, that is amazing.
That's always been what this is about. It is showmanship. It is showmanship. It is performance art.
Yeah,
it's
at its finest.
Wrestling was always a family thing. As bloody in his body as it always got, I always felt like this was something that, you know, it's like...
You can always enjoy.
It's the white hat versus the black hat, and you root for the good guys and the bad guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know what? You're right, Amber. You said you like the Divas. I do too. Women's wrestling has become so much better than what it used to be.
Yeah.
It is amazing. The girls are getting better. They're getting much better at the craft, and mm-hmm. I think they're doing really well. Huge wrestling guy. I am.
When I think of like women's wrestling, I always think of the fabulous Miss Elizabeth.
Oh.
This is a fabulous Miss Elizabeth.
By the way, Randy Macho Man Savage is being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year, which is so awesome.
Excellent.
So. Anyway, so the Twitter war between Chris Pratt and Chris Evans is as a story on Yahoo News right now, is it not?
Yeah, I mean it's all over the web. But you have Chris Pratt, who's for the Seahawks, right? And then you have Chris Evans, which is for
Evans is for the Seahawks. Oh no, Evans is for the Patriots, and Chris
Evans
Pratt's
for
the
Patriots. So you know, Chris Evans. We both know there's only one Captain America, and his name is Russell Wilson. I assume that's the coach of this team.
No, that's not. That's the quarterback. I'm going to tell you something. After watching last Sunday's game with Russell Wilson, not to veer off the whole nerd thing because he's not nerd. After his breakdown and after him being as classy as he was, I'm rooting for the Seahawks.
But I mean, as nerdy as it might not be, I mean, you have two very nerdy characters who play very...
Her being football nerds?
Perfect. comic book characters. But these are also two guys who use their comic book fame for good already.
Well, you know what's nice about this? It's kind of nice to see. It's not lewd or crude, and it's nice to see them just having something that's fun like football or whatever.
Yeah, so if Chris Evans wins... Pratt said if Chris Evans loses, he has to fly to Seattle's Children's Hospital as a Captain America waving the 12th man flag. And then if Evans loses, then he has to go, where's his ones at? Where is it at?
Where's he have to go?
There it is.
Oh, no, that wasn't it.
Anyways, this one doesn't have it on here.
One's got to go to Seattle and the other one's got to go to
somewhere else and dress up as
the character,
but then he has to go as Star-Lord wearing a Brady jersey.
That's a cool thing.
It's cool to see the people. I mean, they've helped so many in the past as their characters already. Yeah. So they're showing kids there's a better way than all this trash talk.
Yeah. Chris Pratt ends it like he sends a bit with your on, sucker. That's pretty funny.
Nice. So you go to the visuals on this story, but you don't go to the Triple H story?
Yeah.
I was embracing the kids.
I want to see...
Go to football, but not wrestling?
It's not really football. It's like two comic book superhero guys. It stays in the theme.
No, it stays in the theme. But anyway, yeah. You know, Collector J.
Here it is.
Here we have... We have a couple more minutes left in the show. We're going to do something for the show from now on that you guys... We're going to be doing a little change-up on the show, just so that you know. We're going to be moving the gaming out of the Nerd Watch podcast, and we're going to have its own podcast. It's going to be me and Collector J, and Amber, if she wants to be a part as well, that we're going to be talking more in-depth about games, more in-depth about what we've been playing, and it's going to be a very cool show. It's going to be the Gamecast, or the Nerd Gamecast, or the Gamecast, whatever we're going to call it, but we're going to take out from here the gaming stuff, and we're just going to put it in its own podcast because we think that gaming deserves its own podcast anyway. So it'll be a lot of fun for us to do this time around and devote a little more time to the things that we play, the games that we're trying to make way in and things of that nature. So that'll be coming up hopefully in the next week or so. I'm hoping that we can separate the two fairly quickly. But anyway, moving back really quick to the story that you mentioned, it's already hit the interwebs, right? And when was this? Back it up real quick.
This Triple H.
Oh, this was on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember this.
They're saying this was off camera.
No, it was.
And then now this looks like.
No, I know this match. It was John Cena, and it was John Cena versus Seth Rollins, Kane, and The Big Show. It was a triple threat match. It was a 3-on-1 match, handicap match, and so it was. Of course, Triple H's character in it is to be he's a CEO that is an evil CEO, and
right.
So he's always ripping the heads off of the good guys because he's the bad guy.
Right.
So it was that is definitely very cool that he would do that.
Yeah.
It's surprising that it was off camera. I'm assuming once you have kids, you realize there are certain things that you have to console them about, let them know that it's just a character. You ain't got to worry about it. So that's really cool. You can actually see the story. It's online right now. Google it. Very cool story about Triple H and classy. That's very very classy.
Yeah,
very classy for him to do for sure.
Unlike our own local fighters getting put in jail.
Right.
Triple H does it right.
Right. Here, by the way, just a little thing to let you guys know. Maui Watch went around the world with that story about BJ Penn being arrested for his drunken fight.
When I was posting my Book of
Maui.
Life mm-hmm. review, he had just put that thing onto the website.
Right.
He hadn't even put it live, but I saw it in the
right.
back end.
Right.
And I was like, can I post my book? You're like, no, hold on to it for a day because I got something else. That's gone.
So just to let you know, Maui Watch is making headway. I'm serious when I say it went around the world. It went from reputable sources to other MMA news. It went all over the world.
Cool.
Maui Watch is making a lot of headway with its reporting and also with the entertainment stuff. I'm getting a lot of feedback from Professor Barry. I'm getting feedback from the streets about how people enjoy listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
So if you guys are interested contributing to the podcast, bringing in stories, just like our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. It's always nice to have a Maui perspective on things, an island perspective. We got two Howleys, one Hoppa Howley, and an Asian on the show. How more diverse can you be? So it's very cool. I'm the Hoppa, by the way, if you didn't know that.
I'm the Asian.
And you are the Asian, right?
I might not look it, but I'm Asian.
All right, you are the Asian. Okay, cool. So it's a lot of fun. We appreciate your support. You can check us out at facebook.com/nerdwatch. You can follow our graffiti on the bathroom wall on Twitter at Nerdwatch Nation. And we've got reviews going up of for Professor Barry for Zero Theorem. Professor Barry can always be viewed at MauiWatch.com. He is a certified RottenTomatoes.com contributing reviewer as well. He is definitely certified as well.
Certifiable.
Maui Watch is making headway. Collector Jay put up his reviews. I got reviews on MauiWatch.com. Like I said, we're making headway across the world with our latest news with BJ Penn and such. And he was at the Four Seasons Hotel here right on Maui.
Yeah, but he got in a fight. Wasn't it at the Triangle?
I don't know what the heck. No, I think he got in a fight at the Four Seasons because apparently
I know,
the guy.
But he was at the Triangle.
Is that what
previously,
he was? Oh,
which you don't ever go there if you're respectable.
This is why I hate alcohol. I hate alcohol.
Alcohol is fine.
No, not
alcohol
for me.
Is a substance. It's the people who are on it that drink too much.
I guess
okay, right
just like
rush.
Guns don't kill
people. I am. I am totally right of rush. I'm. Well, I'm not really, but I'm
yeah,
totally.
You are.
Listen, don't goad me. Don't listen to the guy you had a meeting with. That guy. I'll get into it. I'll stand on my soapbox on the show. Barry's seen it. He knows.
I've seen it.
But We appreciate your support. Matter of fact, we're going to be adding a couple things to the Facebook page. Me and Collector J are working on it to where you guys can help us out if possible. You know, we're always looking for support. It's not easy to get everybody out on their busy schedules to do these things, to set up and to get these podcasts rolling. Your support is greatly appreciated.
The famous line of Jerry Maguire.
What's that?
Show me the money.
Well, I don't want to be too arrogant about it, but I will say this is not arrogant per se. If you guys like the show, we'd love for you to contribute any way you can. Your voice is always important. Your interaction on Facebook, to gauge the temperature of the fan base. We certainly appreciate that as well. You guys are greatly appreciated. You guys put the wind in the sails of the Nerd Watch, as it were. It is because of you that we do this, and we know that a voice out in the islands is always important when it comes to the culture, because no one thinks it exists out here, really. So we really...
You guys are the rude to my poo.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time for this week. We hope you guys have a wonderful week. Now, don't forget, not only do we have this podcast, we also have the special American Sniper Edition, American Sniper Review as well. That's going up today. That's going to go up as well. That should be up there. If it's not, you can check. If it's not already, it's there. Check it out. Also, like I said earlier, we will be separating the shows. Myself and Collector J will be doing a gaming podcast. It probably won't be as it'll be more in depth. So it'll be more in depth about things that we want to talk about and games that we want to talk about. So that'll be a lot of fun. And then Professor Barry and Amber won't be sleeping in here. Well, Professor Barry in particular. So
it'll move to the realm of geekness.
It'll definitely move to the realm of geekness. And like I said, if you're on board, Amber, you're more than welcome to join us for sure. But yeah, hopefully we'll be starting that next week and we'll get more into games. I know Destiny has come out. Everybody wants to talk about Destiny and the Crota hard mode that came out for the raid, which you're not doing.
It's the same content,
except it's harder. A little harder. And they have there's new gear and all this other stuff. We'll talk about that later. We're going to get to that. It's been a movie-centric one and some television news and things like that. Next week we'll get more into games and we'll talk more gaming and we'll just throw up another podcast. What the heck, man? It's going to be fun. As long as we have enough to do already. Plus, we're going to be putting ourselves on YouTube. We're stretching ourselves fairly thin, and even for me, I've got a lot to go around, but still, it's just, you know, I'm still stretching myself pretty thin, but that's all right. We're going to do it because we love what we talk about, we love you guys, and we love having you be a part of the show. So, with that in mind, boys and girls, we are out of time. Peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And next week, anything, you watching anything this coming week? Anything happening? Anybody?
I'm going to go see The Imitation Game.
By the way, I will have a review on that next week.
Sweet, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, are you going to get a chance to watch it?
I hope so. I'm probably going to end up seeing Paddington in the next few days. Paddington and or Shadow Magic. Because I'm with somebody who can only see PG movies. Strange Magic.
You're with somebody who can only watch PG. I didn't realize the dog watched movies with you.
It's not Cheryl.
What is wrong with you?
It's not Cheryl.
What the? Listen.
Where are you at?
Barry.
I'll explain that when the show's over.
Four legs, Barry. Four legs.
Some of those dogs are usually really good at walking on two.
Taking his dog.
So actually, I'm planning on seeing Strange Magic and The Imitation Game.
I'm interested in seeing Strange Magic just because it's a George Lucas vehicle.
Right. I want to see where he's taking it.
Where he wants to be right now. Right. So I'm down for that. I am going to be watching Imitation Game. I'm going to try and get Wilden if I can. And possibly Interstellar, but I don't know.
Isn't Wilden gone? Oh, you're going to see
Yeah. So I'm going to see if I have... No, Wild's still here.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, Wild's still here. We got stuff to watch. Collector J has games to play along with me. I got to play games, watch movies. Man, my life sucks! This is terrible! This is terrible! The life of a nerd is horrid. And we're going to put our... Like I said, we're going to put our stuff on YouTube. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We appreciate all of your support and your help. So until next time, once again, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And until then, aloha!